broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Wow. And we go through the looking glass. What was that, bud? That was another one of your iTunes?
Yeah, I'm downloading.
Well, don't download while I'm on a show. Anyway, going places other talk shows wish they could. Well, some nights they wish they could. 877-876-PHIL is our number, and a very pleasant and profitable and whatever the hell morning to you. Let's see. We have Jeff Dowder, who's going to be joining us. Jeff is works weekends part-time at Caltech as a professor of mechanical physics. Is going to be joining us to talk about another trapped individual, this time a lumberjack. And this man was trapped and apparently cut off his toes. Cut off his toes.
You're kidding me, man. How am I going to make a movie out of that, too?
I don't know. Here it is. John Hutt used a 3-inch pocket knife to sever his toes from the machinery after realizing no one heard his cries. A 61-year-old retired logger was forced to cut off his toes to free himself from after his foot was pinned under his 6-ton trailer.
Six-ton
trailer. Alone in a remote forest and fearing death if he did not get free, John Hutt used a 3-inch pocket knife to cut off all his right toes. All of his right toes. It hurt so much. No, he said it hurt so bad, which is a song by Little Anthony and the Imperials, too.
I don't know that.
I shouldn't make a joke. The guy, well, he did it on purpose. If he'd lost his toes and it wasn't his, you know what I'm saying?
Well, are you saying it's okay?
It just, never mind. So it hurt so bad, Hutt said, I would cut for a while and then I had to rest. Imagine that, cutting off your toes. Okay, that's 3 of them gone. Okay, let me just take a breather here, have a cigarette. I only got 2 more toes to go. Oh, man. He says here that he wrapped his foot in a shirt and drove for his ordeal was first reported in the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel. There's something wrong with the, there's a typo there. Anyway, Hutt, who runs a crane business and goes logging for fun. He'd gone to the woods by himself on August 19th to retrieve a pile of fallen aspen trees to cut for winter firewood. A trailer attached to his truck slipped and landed on his foot. He said he began to cut his toes half an hour later when he realized no one could hear his cries. 30 minutes? 30 minutes? Well, I guess I've never had my foot trapped in anything quite that bad. So maybe that's all it takes is 30 minutes. He couldn't reach the mobile phone, which was in his truck and out of range anyway. He had told his wife he would be back in several hours from a job 50 miles away, but he did not know when she might start searching for him. I cut off my boot to see my foot, and once I realized how bad it was, I started cutting off my toes. Once freed, Hutt drove toward his home outside Montrose, about 175 miles southwest of Denver. He called for help once he had phone reception. An ambulance met him on the way. His severed toes were retrieved and taken to the hospital, but were too mangled to be reattached. They told me there was no hope for them. They said there was nothing to attach the toes to, he said. Instead, doctors sewed his foot shut and wrapped it in bandages. Doctors warned him he may face more surgery. All right, here's Jeff Dowder from Pasadena tonight. And Professor Dowder, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
You heard this story of this man in this logger in Grand Junction. I guess this is Colorado, who cut his toes off.
I heard it.
What do you make of this? And what do you make of the you know, you deal in physics, and that is force and in this instance, weight and these kinds of things. Is there any way for an individual to extract himself? I realize it's a ridiculous question given, you know, all the hypotheticals, but the gentleman that had his arm trapped, that they made the movie 127 hours about, and this gentleman, are these guys acting too hastily?
Well, I don't think in the case of the hiker that you were referencing, the man who they made the movie about, at this particular time, I'm not sure I know, can remember what his name. I don't think in that situation, I think that they probably did, he probably did, you know, the right thing to do. Given his situation, because his arm was trapped and he was, at that time, I believe he had lost circulation. He said that the arm was evidencing some signs of a putrefaction, which seems very, you know, very stark and extreme to most of us, but that's really when the arm or when a flesh, you know...
begins to rot or decompose?
That is correct. And certainly it is life-threatening, given the fact that you can get a number of, you know, get a, like a blood, you know, like a blood disease or whatever, you know, you want to call it, the thing what you're going to do. And so that's how... And so I do believe that. Now, in the case, and he's a younger man, he was a younger hiker, he has no reason to hack his arm off and go riding into town and going, hey, you know, I cut my arm off, let's go make a movie about my life, you know. And in a situation where this man that you're talking about, this logger,
uh-huh.
You've got a lot of factors that are not quite adding up for me. Number one, he's an older gentleman. I think he says 61 or something like that.
That's correct, yeah.
I think at that particular point in life, you get a little desperate to try to make your move, you know. And I think he's just, it's possible. I'm not saying he did, but it's possible he's trying to make a move.
And what do you mean, make a move? What does that mean?
Well, I think when you get to a certain age and you haven't really hit the big home run, you know, you haven't made the big dollars, maybe you sort of come up zeros in a lot of your business dealings and nothing's really panned out and you're still just sort of stuck in your middle class world, you know, you got to bust a move. I mean, as they used to say in the 80s, you know, you got to bust a move. So in my opinion, you know, he's probably, and again, it's just my opinion, this is a guy that's ripe for to bust the move.
And he was ripe for to bust the move.
Yeah.
Okay. In other words, this man is faking this.
I believe that all of the particulars that you just laid out there, Mr. Henry, they don't add up.
So the man's, well, you can't fake cutting off your toes.
No, you can't fake that, no. But you can fake, because there was nobody there, the reason why you cut off your toes.
All right, why is he going to cut his toes off? Tell me again how this is busting a move, as you put it.
Well, I think, are you serious? I mean, look what happened to the guy that had his arm pinned. The guy that got his arm wedged, and I believe it was wedged, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Henry? Did it get wedged or pinned?
Did it get what?
He's actually going to get wedged or pinned.
Did it get wedged or pinned? I don't know. What do you mean, did it get wedged or pinned?
Well, what was it?
I think it got wedged.
Okay, it got wedged. All right. That means...
What do you mean, get wedged or pinned? What difference does it make?
Well, in other words, we're talking about the configuration of the arm. How was the arm configured?
How was the arm configured mean when it was pinned?
No, I mean, just how was his arm configured? Just look at your arm. You know,
wait, how is my arm configured? You're talking about I'm looking at my arm.
Right. So when you look at your arm, how? And I realize it seems like an obvious question, Mr. Henry, but how would you say your arm's configured?
My arm, I have a hand.
Whoa. Calm down, man. Yeah, you got to calm down.
Well, I don't know what the gentleman means by how's my arm configured.
Well, but your arm's there, right?
Yeah, I got two of them.
All right, would you look at... Yeah, we all have two. But look at your arm, and what is... Okay, you have an arm, you have what?
I've got an arm, I've got...
Yeah, but what do you have on it?
I've got a shoulder.
Okay.
I got an elbow, a wrist, a hand, and five fingers.
What else?
What else? I mean, I've got a bicep.
Exactly. You've got bicep, you've got tricep, you know, you've got... You got sep. I mean, I'm not. I didn't take anatomy or anything, but you got, you know, tricep, bicep, sep, anything. If you want to call a sep, all right. That's a lot of musculature, and that's an awful lot for you to cut through using some kind of a plastic knife that you got at Dairy Queen. It's not gonna happen without.
Well, I don't think he was cutting his arm off with something like... You couldn't possibly cut your arm off with a... Talking about a plastic knife from Dairy Queen.
Well, I think he had, like, a real knife.
I don't know. I mean, I heard conflicting reports. I heard reports that the gentleman in the 127-hour movie...
Yeah.
I heard he cut his arm off with, like, a plastic fork. He got it at Soup Plantation.
Oh, get out of here, man. You can't cut your arm. A plastic fork he got at a fork?
I'm sorry, a knife.
At soup plantation?
Or at spaghetti factory.
I don't know.
Yeah, I can guarantee. Look, I'm not a guy that's into anatomy. I don't know anything about musculature or the skeletal structure of the human body. I can tell you right now, no way do you cut through and cut your arm off with a plastic knife you got at soup plantation.
Or that other place. What's the one called? Fresh Choice Buffet.
Yeah, Fresh Choice.
Whatever, man. Who cares if it's Fresh Choice or Soup Plantation or Spaghetti Factory? There's no way you're cutting your arm off with a plastic knife.
All right. Well, be that as it may, be that as it may. What I'm talking to you about right now is deadly serious. I'm talking about the likelihood that that gentleman in the movie 127 Hour, he did cut it off, but a guy who is a lumberjack, he didn't.
All right, I'm going to get into your reasons why you think this man, the lumberjack, and his name, by the way, is...
James Hutt, right there. Here.
I got it, bud. Thank you very much for sticking it up my nose again, man. I keep telling you. Mr. John Hutt.
Man, you're in a bad mood tonight.
I'm not in a bad mood. I just don't want him sticking this thing up my nose, if you don't mind. Mr. John Hutt, a 61-year-old logger. He's a retired logger, and... We're going to talk here in a moment more with Jeff Dowder, Professor Dowder, and why he feels this man could be faking the reasons why he cut off his toes, that he could be making the whole thing up. Let's find out. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking about this gentleman in Colorado, Grand Junction, Colorado, who cut off his toes to free his foot from a trailer that had fallen on his foot, 6-ton trailer. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, talking on the line here with Professor Jeff Dowder from Caltech. We've had another incident of someone being trapped and having to sever a body part. And it isn't like we, you know, wait for these things with bated breath. It isn't, I don't think it's like we have an epidemic of this kind of thing going on. But we definitely have, when it happens, we have a very curious and, dare I say, inspiring in some instances, heartwarming in some instances, and frightening set of circumstances. But, Professor Dowder, you don't believe that's the case in the case of Mr. John Hutt, do you?
Let me just say that I've got some doubts about Mr. Hutt, and the reason why I do have a doubt about it, on account of, he is a logger, he is a man that is a lumberjack. If you know anything about a lumberjack and the lumberjacking that they do, they are alone a lot of the time. This man, Mr. Hutt, told his wife, and I'm reading the story as carefully as I can, that he enjoyed going into the woods and just logging for relaxation. I'm sure that that is the case. I have no reason to doubt that. It does give you an indication that it's a very solitary, it's a solitary pursuit. I think that it borders on, if I may be permitted to use the word, I think it borders on weird to say, yeah, you know, my hobby's logging. I think that borders on, if I may be permitted to say it, it borders on the weird. Because if you enjoy, you know, if your hobby is a log, or not, is to log it, and...
What do you mean, log it?
Well, I'm just using a shorthand, that if your hobby is to go log, you know, to go log, and you know, there's probably a lot of juvenile jokes you can make about that, and...
yeah.
All right, bud, take it easy, okay?
I mean, you know, that believe me, Mr. Henry, I deal with college students every day, and, you know, I know we're going to talk about this in class on next week, and someone's going to say, well, you know, what do you mean by log? You know, but the fact is, if your hobby is, if you're a lumberjack, you're already in a group of people that I think we do want to keep an eye on. And
well, then why would you say something like that?
Well, lumberjacking is really a business where you're going in and you're cutting down trees that have existed for thousands and thousands of years, and you're going in and you're just hacking them down. It's very, like, non-productive. It goes against the grain and flows beyond the norm of the way, you know, just the way the trip, you know, of how the trip should be. And so, and
I don't really understand what you're talking about, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like, I'm not,
would you shut up, bud? I'm talking to the guest.
Yeah, but
would you shut up? I'm talking to the guest.
Yeah, shut up, man. You shut up.
Do both you guys shut up?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I mean, all I'm saying, you know, maybe I should shut up, because what I'm saying...
No, you're fine, Doc, but or professor, I should say.
Well, if you want to call me doctor, that would be, well, I guess it's too late now, but I was going to say, people would think I'm a doctor, and it might give me a little more credibility of what I'm saying, but... Here's my point.
Let me just jump in. I don't want to call you something that you're not. My point is simply this. Lumberjacks go in and they cut down trees because there is a need either, you know, the United States exports a lot of lumber. I know we export lumber to Japan. It's not like it's a completely gonzo business. I realize there's a great many environmentalists that probably wish we didn't do a lot of the cutting that we do, but we do. Why would you diminish? Are you diminishing mentally the abilities of lumberjacks?
I'm not diminishing their ability mentally, but I am saying that it is a very, you know, if you'll permit me to say, it's a very squirrely, you know, it's kind of a, it's squirrely to go and cut down trees as part of how you chill, is what I'm saying. So let's take this man, Mr. Hutt. He goes into the woods. He said he had breakfast with his wife, and he goes into the woods. And he, you know, he goes deep into the woods. No one hears about him. No one knows anything. You know, no one knows what did he do and everything. Now he's deep down into the heart of a wooded glen, or I don't know where he was.
What do you mean a wooded glen?
Well, I'm thinking of where he might have been, you know.
Well, yeah, wooded glen, you know.
Bud, let me do it.
He's getting everything wrong.
Why don't you look up what a wooded glen is, okay?
Well, I mean, a wooded glen is, it's a
about a wooded beck.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, wooded beck.
Yeah, about Woody Woodpecker.
Okay, that wasn't funny.
No, way not funny. You thought wooded beck is funny.
Okay, look. You guys do your one-liners with each other somewhere else while I talk to this guy.
Well, I'm talking, you're saying a wooded glen, okay? You could say a wooded Turner, because of Glenn Turner. But I don't want to make those jokes, you know?
Yeah, thank you very much. Let's just forget that, and let's forget about a wooded glen. You said that he went deep into the woods after he had breakfast with his wife.
Yes, sir.
Now, my understanding is he got into a truck, and he drove.
Yes, he did drive. My concern and my interest is how much was on foot. You can drive a long way, but you can't drive. You can't get lost really in a car, because cars have got to go on roads, and roads are things that were built by humans, and humans know what they did build, and so you can say to a human, did you build a road? I mean, where is it? Yeah, okay, I built a road there. Okay, so we'll know the road, you know?
Okay.
So at some point he had to be on foot. That's what I meant about him going deep into a glen. And
I don't know what you mean by a wooded glen. Would somebody look that up?
Well, what I mean by a wooded glen is there's drinking water, there is shelter, it's wooded. Generally, the wildlife that's in a wooded glen is less threatening. You don't find bears or skunk. There's very little skunk. There's very little wolverine or, you know, any of those kinds. Mostly it's squirrel type or a chipmunk versions of, and that's what you're dealing with, okay?
All right, so a wooded glen is there's water, there's cover, and there's chipmunks.
Yeah, I mean, pretty boy, you know.
It sounds just delightful. So now he is...
Well, Mr. Renner, I'm not trying to be a smartass.
Okay, fine, but this isn't getting me any closer to why you think this guy faked cutting his toes off.
Yeah, get the definition of a wooded glen.
Hold on with your definition of a wooded glen.
Here's what I think. Mr. Hunt parked his truck on one fine merry day. That's almost like it rhymes. Mr. Hunt done parked his truck on one fine merry day. He went to the Glen and...
And he was with a guy named Ben, and they took their pants down.
All right, I'm going to start throwing guys out of here one at a time. I'm going to start throwing bodies out that door, huh?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, get here. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil.
Mr. Hunt went. Oh.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we continue our discussion here with Professor Jeff Dowder from Caltech here in Southern California. Caltech is California Institute of Technology. Doc?
Again, I'm a professor.
I'm sorry, professor.
That's all right. Like I said, California Institute of Technology is our, if you want to, you know, call it our brainiac factory here in California. I'm, I love Caltech. I think the campus is beautifully situated in the very, speaking of a wooded glen, it's not in a wooded glen, right? It's in a wooded, you know, it's a portion that has woods and everything. Caltech is a great school.
Where did you graduate?
Well, I graduated from MIT, but I'm originally from California.
Why didn't you go to Caltech?
Well, I wanted to go and just, that's a long story, and I don't know if you really want to. It has to do with, it's a very heavy story,
Well, I'm just, curious.
But it's pretty heavy. I mean, someday when you've got, 6 weeks, I'll tell you. I mean, let me put it this way, man. It involves... a little bit of acid,
All right. I don't need to hear it, okay?
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it involves a little bit of acid and a girlfriend that did massages for money,
Okay, I don't need to hear it, Professor. Thank you very much, sir.
All right, so someday when you got 6 weeks or, a year, I'll tell you all about it. But,
okay, thank you, sir, and I caution my audience that... we are not endorsing the use of psychotropics or hallucinogenics.
No, I'm not endorsing it. I'm just saying in my, own personal, journeys and explorations and everything, I've found, I'm not going to say, I know that you don't.
I don't want any endorsement of any drug use on my show, if that's all right.
I certainly understand that, Mr. Henry. I'm just saying that in my own personal journey, it's my spiritual journey. I'm not going to say, but I've been down some fairly pretty trippy, roads,
All right, I'm sure you have. I want to stick to what we're talking about here.
Okay, I do have the, unless Mr. Dickman, or I forgot his name.
My name's Dickman, but I did get Professor Dowder.
Okay,
Excuse me, I'll direct my staff. What do you got, bud?
I got the, Mr. Professor Dowder told me to do it.
I don't care if he told you to do it. You work for me.
Well, but I told him...
I understand that, Professor. What did you do?
I got the definition of glen.
Okay, go ahead, read it.
A glen is a valley, typically one that's long, deep, and it has a glacial U-shape.
And all right, let me do it, okay? God almighty.
Well, you asked him to do it.
Yeah, you want me to do it.
All right, I'm doing it now, okay? It's taking you too long. And by the way, Professor, I'll talk to my staff.
Right, I understand that, but I'm just saying probably if you, were a little looser, if you loosen it up a little.
Thank you very much. I'll direct my staff. Thank you.
Okay, but I can tell there's a lot of tension going on.
That's real groovy. Thank you very much, and maybe I'll go get a massage or whatever the hell, but right now I'm going to read this. Thank you.
Okay.
A glen is a valley, typically one that is long.
That's just what he said.
I know that. I'm reading it better, okay?
Wow.
Let me read it. A glen is a valley, typically one that is long, deep, and often glacially U-shaped, or one with a watercourse running through such a valley. Widow defines it as a Scottish term for a deep valley in the Highlands that is narrower than a straw.
What's that?
I don't know.
You said you want to read it. And who's Whitlow anyway?
I'm reading it. I don't know who Whitlow is. The word is goidelic, glen in Scottish and Irish Gaelic, gloin in Manx.
Oh, okay, right there. Okay, that's where you get the confusion of gloin or gloid. And not, you know, the juvenile thing you talk about, Mr. Aaron. I'm talking about the gloin is, we call it the groin. And what do we call the groin? That's that area between the leg and the trunk of the body. The groin, all right, the groin of any wooded area is a glen. That is the gloin or the gloid, because it's the stupidest part of, if you go into a wooded glen, what is it? It's a valley, but it's U-shaped, so you've hit a dead end. So in a lot of ways, you've gloided.
Are you making this crap up? Are you?
I'm not making anything up, Mr. Henry. You wanted to know about a glen.
I don't care about the glen so much as I care about this guy who cut his toes off.
Oh, yeah. God, I forgot about that.
Oh, my God.
Well?
You guys are running around with the definition of a wooded glen?
I just said that's where he went.
Okay, so the guy went into a wooded area that is a U-shape that's got a dead end to it, and the cat went in there, and it's called a groin or a gloid or a gloin. What are you laughing at?
I don't know.
It is.
Well, it's called, I don't know what you're laughing about, because that's Scottish. It is gloin. It's a gloin.
Good, it's a gloin. Now let's get back to Mr. Hutt. He went into this valley, this wooded glen, this gloin, this gloid, this whatever you want to call it, and he, then what happens?
Well, I mean, what this man is claiming is that somehow in the midst of logging or doing all that, you know, doing this dance that he said he was doing, which I don't buy for a minute, suddenly here goes this trailer down on his foot, pins a foot, and he has to take out a pocket knife and carve his toes off. And the quote, it hurt so bad I would cut for a while and then I had a rest. And I think you made the point, and very good point at what you made, Mr. Henry, about how, yeah, sure, yeah, right, so you cut off three toes, you're like, okay, let me take a chill here and have a good and plenty and smoke a cigarette, maybe see what the ball game's on yet, see if the Cub game's on. Oh, yeah, I got two more toes to cut off. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you serious? So that part there is also... Why, and again, this is why they call it a gloid, because people will, you went into a valley and it's a dead end, so you're a gloid. And
you know what? That's bull crap. That's a slang term used by idiots that has nothing to do with anything, and I wish you wouldn't use it.
Well, but you said it was a gloid.
No, I did not. You guys are reading from a definition of a glen in which you state there is something called in Manx, in the language of Manx, whatever that is. Is that Welsh? Gloin. In Manx, glen is also to be found, meaning glen. It is cognate with Welsh. Okay. As the name of a river, it is thought to derive from the Welsh word glen, meaning clean or glended.
Glended what?
Oh, boy, are you guys funny.
I'm not trying to be funny. You...
But you said something about glen.
Keep going.
Keep going, I mean...
Yeah, keep going with this thing, because...
Oh, okay, so then the trailer falls on his foot. Then he carves his toes off, drives, calls an ambulance, and he's all, yeah, wow. I mean, in my opinion, he made it all up because he's already a little bit squirrely, the fact that he relaxes by lumbering and
yeah, and going out to log.
Right. Okay, and that's number one. Number two... It's too close to the time of the one, the guy's arm getting cut off. That means to me it's little monkey see, monkey do. And then finally, right, cutting off your toes, that is the least painful thing to do. I mean, even cutting your fingers off is more painful. He's cutting off his toes, so he made it up. They're going to find out that he made it up. And then his insurance isn't going to pay, and he's going to be without any toes. He's going to be basically without a foot. The insurance money won't come through. His wife's going to get laughed at the supermarket. He's going to be limping around. They're going to go, there's the guy that cut off his toes to try to have a movie made about his ass. and nobody gives a sweet, you know, no one gives a sweet rip. And so, you know, I you know, that's what I think. And that's why I took so much time to talk about Glenn, because this is pretty cut and dry meat.
Say that again?
That's why I took all the time to talk about Glenn, because pretty cut and dry meat.
Yeah, cut dry meat, too.
Cut dry
meat? It's pretty cut and dried to me.
Well, then why don't you guys talk clearly, cut dry meat? So you believe that...
I thought I was being clear, Mr. Henry.
So you believe that this man cut his toes off on purpose... That there wasn't any trailer that fell on him?
No.
That don't you think that there would be some evidence of the foot being... don't you think there'd be some evidence of the foot having been crushed?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that, you know, it's easy enough to take a sledgehammer or something and smash your foot. It's easy enough. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can fake it, but nobody is going to say... Oh, wow, you know, you killed somebody. No one's going to say you molested a kid. All you did is cut off your toes like a retard. You know,
we don't use that word on the show.
I'm sorry. But, I mean, you cut your toes off, and you're hoping they're going to make a movie about your ass. No way, no way, no way. Ain't going to happen.
Well, I will tell you this much, Professor. It's an interesting premise, one that I'm going to be interested in seeing now unfold. Usually a story like this, you feel for the guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you really do. Got a lot of sympathy for him, and you know, but I'm looking at a lady right now on ABC News. Her name's Ann Compton. Have you ever seen her?
No.
She's got a nose that just almost goes straight up to the ceiling. Now, you got to ask yourself, was a trailer dropped on that? No, of course it wasn't. That's her face. But is it reasonable for me?
That's an insulting thing.
No, wait, hold on for a minute.
That's an insulting, idiotic, juvenile thing to say.
What?
That a trailer was dropped on her face.
Have you ever seen her nose?
Dude, I don't need to see her nose. I know who Ann Compton is. Thank you very much for joining us, Professor Dowder. And I will tell you this. I'm going to be very interested. I hate having to struggle with guests, and I apologize if I was short-tempered.
Well, you know, Mr. Henry, part of it's your staff.
Well, it may be part of my staff, but also you are very difficult to talk to because I'm trying to stay on track, and you're directing my staff, which a lot of people do. And I'll have to talk to Bud about that. Nonetheless, what you have talked about here tonight is very interesting, and we will follow it to see if, in fact, Mr. Hutt did get his toes caught by way of an accident, and he was able to extract himself from this situation in a very painful but courageous way. Or was it set up? Did he set the whole thing up, cut his toes off just so he could get a little bit of the world's love? Thank you very much. That's Professor Jeff Dowder. You know, Bud, I'm losing my throat here, huh?
Well, I didn't do nothing.
Yeah, you did do something, man. Give me the definition of a Glenn. Don't be doing what he tells you to do. I don't give a damn if you think it's a gloid. It says gloin. And you guys start off with all the jokes, and we never get anywhere. All right, Phil Henry's show here, 877-876-PHIL. And Pastor William Rennick is going to be joining us, I believe, next hour, as well as Emery Clayton and another professor from L.A. Canyon College, talking about an interesting situation. A man allegedly threw his son off of a boat. He says he was kidding. He says he was playing, but he threw the kid off the boat. It freaked a lot of people out. We'll talk about that coming up here. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Don't argue with me. Just do it.
Yeah, but you want to know what a gloin was.
I don't care if he wanted to know what a gloin was. What is it with you guys, when I get guests on here, you guys do what the guest asks you to do. You don't do what I ask you to do.
The man, yeah, you want us to be polite, though.
Yeah, be polite, man, but don't all of a sudden turn it into the Professor Jeff Dowder show. What do you mean he wanted to know what a gloin was? You guys didn't even know what a gloin was until you read, and that's something else. I keep telling you, don't you ever go to Wikipedia for a definition.
Oh, wait a minute, man. That's wrong. A lot of people use Wikipedia.
I don't care if a lot of people use Wikipedia. There's an example of what I'm talking about right there. A lot of people do it, huh? A lot of people do it? If a lot of people were jumping off the freaking bridge into the river, would you do it?
Well, why would they be doing it?
Maybe they've gone mad. Maybe they've turned into human lemmings. Maybe they've decided to just go ahead and throw themselves into the river because they're being idiots. Maybe they're in the middle of some flash mob. I don't know.
Well, if it's a flash mob, I probably would do it.
Really? Talk about monkey see, monkey do.
Ha ha, monkey see, monkey do. You saying that because I'm black?
Yeah, that's right, Robert. That's why I said it, because you're black. That's right. That's right. Do you believe that?
No.
Okay. I said it because, everybody in this country, in this world, everyone is geared the same way. People are all geared the same way. Oh, we want to, so there's strength in numbers. We don't want to stand out. We want to be a part of the crowd. We want to be a part of the mob. We don't want to be anything other than acceptable to everybody. So when some jackass does something and everybody else does it, well, we want to join in. And I'm just telling you that that isn't always the way to do it. You say everybody goes to Wikipedia, good for them. I'm sure they're making a very good effort at Wikipedia to put together something that's, whatever you want to call it, scholarly. But they got a long way to go for me. 90% of the definitions and information you find there is not even cited.
Is that what it means by citation needed?
Yes. What that means is somebody made a claim, we don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, but if you know that, at least you can take that in consideration.
That's fine. Why don't you go to a place that's fully footnoted? What about that? Why don't you go to an encyclopedic, into a website that is an encyclopedia that has footnotes, that is fully cited, and that they know what they're talking about? What's with Wikipedia?
Every time you find something, they got a definition there.
Yeah, they do have a definition there, but it isn't always the right one. It may be information that is not correct, you know. Then that reminds me, I want you to get somebody to clean up the one on me in there because they got one about Phil Henry, they got one about the Phil Henry show, they got Henrypedia, they got, as usual, it's like a mess, okay?
What do you want me to find somebody that'll do it?
Yeah, let's find someone that knows how to navigate Wikipedia so they can, you know, do the definition there, or at least give the correct Wikipedia entry for me and for the show. I mean, that's all I'm asking. I don't think that's asking too much. You know, we don't want to have...
Well, did you find information there that's wrong?
I did once.
Well, how long ago was that?
It was a lot of years ago, but...
Well, see, they've probably done it better since then.
Now, they have... They got a lot better at making sure the stuff will go in is the right one.
Yeah, I know they have. I know that they're making efforts all the time. I'm just, you know, I want to make sure that... there's nothing in there not so much that I just would like it to be finished. It looks like it's unfinished. It looks like there's all kinds of stuff because people have gone in there. You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? There's all kinds of people that want to harm the show. They want to do us harm. I don't know why it is. I don't know why it is we need to be punished because we want to A, enforce a copyright on our material, and B, because we tell it like it is to some people who claim to be fans. So we tell them to F off, and all of a sudden this becomes like every fan has been insulted. No, that's not the case. Quit being so tender in the ass. We were only talking to a few people. And secondly, I don't see how it is we have to be threatened, and we have to have Neil Rogers, that memorial page, was defaced by some ass because he's pissed off at me, because I wanted to enforce the copyright on my material. So he goes over and he craps all over Neil Rogers' memorial page. And, of course, all that did was get him hated and kicked off the page, and he doesn't care. I mean, these people have got no conscience, no morals. They're not funny. They're not interesting. They follow me around because I'm the greatest thing that's ever happened to them, and I disappointed them somehow.
Well, you just... got to live with a lot of that stuff.
I understand that. No, I'm not. I don't doubt that. I'm just saying. At some point, we don't have to do it today, but at some point, we might want to get in there and clean that up. All right. Grammy-winning rapper T.I. stepped off a luxury motor coach on Wednesday evening to start serving the rest of his time in a halfway house for a probation violation with a new book deal and TV reality show waiting for him. The artist, whose real name is Clifford Harris, earlier left the Forest City low-security prison in Arkansas and was driven to 375 or so miles to the bus, in the bus, with dark-colored windows, followed by four other cars.
Like the president.
Almost like the president. Dressed in a red and blue striped polo shirt and white shorts, red and blue striped polo, T.I. stepped off the bus with his entourage to check into the halfway house. The storm is over and the sun back out. It's our time to shine. Shotty, the rapper posted on Twitter shortly after his release. Welcome to the beginning of our happy ending. T.I. had initially served about 7 months at the prison in 2009 after he was arrested for trying to buy unregistered guns and silencers from undercover federal agents. He was on probation after he was released in order not to commit another crime or to do other bullcrap.
Double twos?
I don't know. They lost the next page. Anyway, so that douchebag is, he's going into the halfway house. I read a thing, you know, the Mel Gibson thing has been settled. Mel Gibson and this woman.
Yeah.
And I read where the judge said to them, and I thought it was fantastic, he said, not going to be any books written, there's not going to be any interviews given, there's not going to be a movie about it, there's not going to be a movie in a week about it. You guys are going to do this and you're going to do that, and you're not going to involve yourselves in any publicity or any other shenanigans. And I was thinking, that's a fantastic... They ought to fit that into every single solitary order, every single sentence that they give out. No making money, nothing. Now, I know we have laws against it here in California. Well, I'll be right back, talk more about it.
You talk too long.
I know.